How will the world meet growing energy demand while reducing emissions? What technology, human capital, policy, and education is needed to making the energy transition a reality? What are the myths and hard truths about all forms of energy, our environment, and our economy? The Voices of Energy sets out to explore these questions with the people at the heart of making these changes a reality. We'll go from conversation to application by focusing on actionable strategies that will drive the world and our industry into a new era. I'm Katie Maynard, founder and CEO of Ally Energy, and this is the Voices of Energy. I'm Katie Maynard, and this is the Voices of Energy podcast. And today we are joined by Kathy Eberwine, founder and CEO of Global Edge Consultants. Kathy started the Global Edge Consultants in 2008 with the vision of building a global business, driving it forward at high levels while maintaining the small business feel, preserving the very fundamentals that built these businesses in the first place. People. The Global Edge team consists of international recruitment specialists operating on every major continent with the vision to become the agency of choice in the international recruitment arena. From her worldwide experience and travels, the Doyen Initiative was born. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. Kathy started this nonprofit with the mission to positively impact women around the world, elevating them to an expert level in their field. Doyen means a woman who is the most respected or prominent person in a particular field. These women, the goal at least is for them to reach their maximum potential to then become leaders and role models who will influence their communities, countries, families, and generations to come. This is a powerful movement and one we have felt we just had to share with our listeners. Welcome, Kathy. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Katie. I appreciate you having me as a guest, and I'm very excited to share more information about the Doyen Initiative.
Excellent. Well, before we get started, typically we have a little icebreaker question. So I'm going to throw one to you and just give us your answer. So what is your favorite childhood book?
I would say Corduroy. I've always been a fan of that book, and I think all of us are missing buttons or have something that's just not perfect. So I love the story about how the girl saw something special in him, even with the imperfections.
That's such a great thing, particularly given the fact that you're in the business of people. So let's talk about that, your background. So to get to the meat of this initiative that you started, we have to kind of get to the beginning. So let's go back to 2008. When Global Edge Consultants began, why don't you tell us a little bit about the story?
Sure. So I had worked for two large international recruitment companies before starting the Global Edge. They had each gone through sales multiple times, and I knew I was going to be starting again. And I thought, if I'm going to do this for the third time, I'm just going to do it on my own. So that's why I started the Global Edge Consultants. But backing up a little bit further, most people don't have a career path in recruitment per se. They normally stumble onto it. And that's what happened with myself. I'm an engineer by background. I had done some recruitment through another effort. And I had a headhunter find me and say, do you want to do engineering recruitment? So I said, sure, I'll give it a try. And I loved it. I'm a people person, even though I'm an engineer. And I loved, you know, connecting the right people with the right roles. So fast forward to 2008, when I was starting the Global Edge Consultants, you know, I had worked for two other companies, really wanted to go out on my own. And so I formed the Global Edge and started at that time. It's been quite a journey. Obviously, you're in this industry, Katie, and you know that the energy industry has its ups and downs. So we've been through a number of those, but it's been a fantastic journey growing the company and going global.
I always like to tell people that are engineers that get into people roles and people that get into somewhat engineering roles that you're a people engineer. So you are a people engineer, and that is really at the heart of your business. You know, what struck me about Global Edge was the focus placed on the heart of any organization, and that's building teams of people. And I'm kind of curious, tell me how that plays out in your recruitment efforts and your day to day.
Well, this is a great question, and it's something I'm very passionate about. As a matter of fact, one of our taglines that we use quite a bit at the Global Edge is our passion is our people. To me, passion is not something you just take lightly. It's something that you're all in about, and I feel like that's the way we are here. So when you really look at what we do on a daily basis and just our lives in general, outside of your health and your family, I don't think there's anything more personal than your career. You spend more time at your job than you do at home. And so we really teach our recruiters to remember that with people, that it's not just slotting somebody into a job, but let's find the right fit. So certainly as part of our recruitment narrative, in terms of connecting talent and people with jobs with our clients, but also our people inside of the Global Edge, we're very passionate about making this a great place to work. So we're very intentional about attracting people that have what we call the Global Edge DNA, certain attributes that our leadership team wants to have with people that join the organization. So it's a common thread through everything we do, not just externally with recruiting people, but also recruiting our internal people and getting them to buy into our culture and our vision.
That's tremendous. I have to tell you, we love working obviously with you because of your focus on people. And that's the mission of Ally, you know, is to be a force for good, to give people reasons to go out into the world and do good things. And obviously, as you know, our industry does a very, very important job of bringing, you know, heat and light to the world. So it sounds like you're living the dream. I'm curious though, because, you know, I'm a little, obviously I'm earlier in my business than you are, but I'm really curious, you know, what is it like competing on a stage that was dominated by larger or more established agencies? You know, competition is obviously healthy. How did you gain the experience to show your value?
That's a great question. You know, if you were to look at some of the obstacles or things that we had to overcome since starting the Global Edge, this was certainly one of them, because we are in a global market. We have very sophisticated supply chain organizations within these companies, and they bid and they tender to award suppliers. So it was sort of a chicken or the egg scenario for us. I myself had experience, but the Global Edge didn't, in terms of participating in tenders. So it was a challenge early on to talk about what we could do as opposed to pointing to what we've already done. So we just had to work with the clients that gave us opportunities and continue to demonstrate capabilities. And from that, get more referrals and go from strength to strength. I'm happy to say that we've gone through that chapter, and it was very onerous for us, but now we have a very large portfolio of international clients, and we've gotten quite a lot of recommendations in terms of doing business. So now we are on that stage with those larger companies, and I'm hoping that they'll be asking how they're going to be competing with us at some point.
Great. So seeing the hurdles that you had to face to bring Global Edge to where it is now, obviously you've decided to give back. I remember the phone call, Katie. We're launching this amazing new Doyen initiative. As it kind of started at the, I think it was the US Africa Business Summit, can you tell us a little bit more about the birth of the new baby?
Yes. One of the core values at the Global Edge is social responsibility. And we have core values that we actually really adhere to. They're not just something we put on our website, but they're a thread through everything we do. And this is very, very important, not only to myself, but to everyone in the organization. So we've done different things, but I wanted to do something really impactful on the global stage. I've traveled the world. Every time you go into a new country, there's a lot of talk around local content. And I do believe it's the right thing to do. If we're going to go into a country and extract their resources, they should benefit, not just monetarily, but there should be some development. In my mind, I always wanted to do something. I just couldn't get my arms or my mind around exactly where to start. I think sometimes that's one of the things that prohibits people from moving forward. But I was at the US Africa Business Summit, and there were probably 8 or 9 heads of state or African presidents that were talking about all types of topics. But throughout the entire summit, the one theme that really resonated, and this was World Bank and you know, the person who ran the South African Stock Exchange, they all talked about the need for economic empowerment for women in Africa. And it's just the light bulb went off. You would think as a female engineer that I wouldn't have needed the light bulb to go off, but it did. And I thought, you know, this is what you should do. You should do something as a starting point to help female engineers. And that's kind of where the dream was born. There was still a lot of work to do to frame it, but that was really my aha moment. And I went back the next morning and had breakfast with the ambassador of Mozambique. And I remember saying, Carlos, I know what I'm going to do. And I think I talked to you shortly thereafter.
It's a fascinating program. And obviously, sustainable development is a key component, a core component of the things we believe in. This is why I know we love working together. And I would love to know more about the commitments that the participants make once they join the program. What does that look like? What does the program look like? And what's kind of the process?
Right. So the first part was identifying these potential doyens. We've already talked about them being very prominent and well-respected. So we did a very comprehensive vetting program in Mozambique throughout the entire country with academia, private industry, both from the US and Mozambique. So we were very thorough in vetting, trying to get the best of the best. We wanted the right raw DNA that we could take to the next level. And one of the things that was part of that was finding out that they also had a passion for social responsibility. So these doyens already have things that they were doing in their personal lives on top of already graduating and getting an engineering degree. So one of the requirements for us, or the requirement for these doyens, is that they need to go back into their home country for at least 5 years. So the program is fully paid for them. They don't pay for anything, but they have to go back into their communities and be that example, because role models and examples are very powerful. And they don't have role models in their countries. Very, very, very few. As a matter of fact, if you speak to these ladies, they'll tell you that they can count on one hand female role models that they have doing the things that they're trying to do. So they need to go back in country. That's number one. And then there are a few other pay it forward requirements that they need to participate in. And it could look different for each one, but there will be a mentoring aspect. There will be a teaching and academia aspect, awareness and spreading the word aspect, and then, of course, helping to facilitate with future fundraising. So we do really have a pay it forward program so that it is sustainable. You hit the nail on the head with that. We don't just want to start with these women. We want it to grow. So we're really optimistic to see what happens when these ladies go back into their home country.
And so when you say that, okay, they do the program, like I'm listening to you and it's fascinating. It sounds wonderful, particularly because this is truly like a gift to give to someone, is the value of an education. What do they get? What is the end game?
So they are, first of all, they're getting a master's degree in a very technical subject. So our first class or cohort from Mozambique is doing reliability engineering. And I picked this, Katie, because as you know, being in this industry, when oil prices are $100 a barrel, efficiency is not the top of the talking point. But when it's in the tank, everybody's talking about efficiency. And it just so happened when I formed the program, that was exactly what people were talking about after 2015, 16. And reliability engineering was something that all of our clients were requesting. And it so happens, I went to the University of Maryland and they have the best master's program in reliability engineering in the world. So that is the very reason I picked that as our starting point. So they're getting really great education in a very sophisticated field. The next step for them when they finish, which will be in the spring, they'll have access to a very good internship program that we're facilitating for them with some of the energy clients that will give them really meaningful on-the-job experience with this education, so that when they go back in country, they will be positioned to take their seats at a very high level. That's what they get, as well as our support and love and encouragement and kind of the community we formed for them.
Well, you're speaking to my heart. The pipeline of talent is always a challenge for us in energy, and it's become a national security item in this country. And there's nothing better to be able to develop that next generation, particularly because careers in oil and gas aren't necessarily the chosen ones, but we know that we're going to need, you know, that energy source for the near future to help us transition to new fuels. So Mozambique, that was the inaugural class. This is a country where, according to some of the statistics you had on your website, 94% of girls enroll in primary school, but only 1% continue to college. So that's amazing. I mean, obviously, there is a need in this country. Talk to us about your global mission for the Doyen Initiative.
Yeah, so that stat is pretty staggering. And while we talk about diversity quite a bit, Katie, you and I have over the years just in the energy industry, you know, we're lacking here, but it's so much worse in other countries. So yeah, we're excited about what they're going to do there. The vision for us, it's not about Mozambique. That was just my starting point because we were doing business there and was part of the Global Edge social responsibility mission. But for Doyen, we want to be all over the globe. And we'd like to start with a concept where we're going to have three pillars, if you will, of expertise that we're going to develop. Hopefully it'll get beyond that. But we want to do something in engineering and tech. So engineering and IT. So that's sort of what we're doing with this first class. We want something in healthcare. And we are doing a medical scholarship here in the US through one of our sister companies, the Medical Edge. So that's coming. And we're also going to be doing a virologist in Mozambique as our next class. My father actually started the virology department at the University of Maryland when they first discovered viruses. So I had that in my vision long before COVID with AIDS and malaria and the need in Africa, but we're definitely moving forward with that. So we're going to have the techie kind of pillar, healthcare. And then the last piece is kind of a commercial legal pillar. So we'd like to develop highly sophisticated experts, whether it's in banking, finance, lawyers, women that can be deal makers. Katie, you know, that's really where economic empowerment comes from. So we'd like to go global. And we'd like to start with those kind of three areas and see where it goes from there.
You know, this is so exciting. I'm listening to you talk, and this obviously is a week in where we're reflecting on giving thanks and being thankful. Although I must say that I think gratitude is something we need to practice on a daily basis. But the UN Sustainable Development Goals, when you look at those 17 goals and you're talking about these programs, right, in these specific disciplines, so looking at the engineering piece, looking at the global health piece, gosh, if we're more prepared and have better virology, you know, we're going to get at global pandemics, or we're going to avoid, you know, those global pandemics. So this is exciting when I see this work, because, you know, it's good health and well-being, it's quality education, gender equality, it's decent work and economic growth. I'm looking down the list of the SDGs. It's incredible that the germination of kind of one class really opens the door to try and build this pipeline of talent in these critical industries of energy and healthcare. So congrats to you. This is so, so impressive. Okay. So on the homepage, I looked at the site of the Doyen Initiative, and I love this statistic. Women are more likely than men to put their income and expertise back into their families and communities. So how have you seen this in action, and where did this data come from?
I've seen it in action probably more with myself and the people that work at the Global Edge. Katie, I didn't really know that this was a stat. It was something that our Doyen Initiative group presented to me, and it came from the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, from 2018. And there were many other statements and stats that were shared at that US-Africa Business Summit about women in business and why they wanted to do economic empowerment. And they weren't just what I'll call, Katie, when people pat us on the back and say, oh, we need to give them an opportunity. I call it the placating. They were very real business reasons why women need to have more opportunity. They are better creditors. They are less likely to default on a loan. And that was something the World Bank said. You know, this was one of the other stats that came forward. So I just thought it was really interesting, and it's compelling, right? Not just because I'm a female, but because this is something that the world needs more of.
Absolutely. And that's what drives sustainable communities and sustainability long-term, is that reinvestment. So as we wrap up, What is something you wish people asked you that you never seemed to get a chance to talk about?
Well, as you know, I've been asked a lot of questions, just like yourself, I think over the years when you have your own company. So I've been asked quite a lot of things, but I guess maybe not a question, but maybe just the thought that I would leave with people is that I think there are a lot of people that have ideas that they want to do something to make a difference, but I think they're often hindered by the belief that they have to be really big or they have to do something really big and they have to do it all at once. And really, I think it's just about getting started. I wish that people would realize you just start small. And if you want to make a big difference, maybe you're going to make a big difference with just those few people in the beginning, but it'll still be very big for them. But if you do it and you just get in motion, it'll start to receive a critical mass and it'll grow. And I think for me, that's what I wish people would think about. Not, oh, she's the CEO of the Global Edge, so she started this big initiative. It was really just a small thought with myself and somebody I was having breakfast with. And here we are. So I really appreciate you having us on this so that we could share more about it. We're excited. I really do believe it's a long runway. It's not something we're going to see results from overnight, but I think it's going to be a really big, big impact program. And I can't wait to see where these women are in 10 or 15 years.
Well, Kathy, this speaks very much to my heart. I appreciate you bringing that up because as a fellow entrepreneur, I always get that question too. And I think people don't realize that it just takes one step. And that one step, I mean, when you think about the one step you took in 2008, and then the one step you took recently to form this initiative, and now here you are. And so thank you so much for coming. Moving forward, what is the biggest need and where is the next area of growth? So, how can folks help you with the Doyenne initiative?
Yes. Well, lots of areas of help. We're actually building our board of directors and some committees right now. We have a core group of people who've been tremendous to help us get it launched, but we do want to go global. So we're expanding. So if anyone is interested in participating as a board member or even to do some part-time work on committees, we always need help. Takes a village, as you say. Always fundraising is a big thing because these are expensive programs. But if anyone has any interest, they can reach out to Claire Johnson. She's on our website for the Doyenne Initiative, or myself, of course, at any time. I'm happy to have a conversation and fold them in any capacity. We're welcoming any and all help.
Great. Thanks so much for your time, Kathy. Kathy Everine with the Global Edge Consultants, founder of the Doyenne Initiative. To check out more about the Doyenne Initiative and other programs, check out our website at www.allyenergy.com. I'm Katie Maynard, your host for the Voices of Energy. We'll see you next time.